Thank you. I am Lisa Portland, a compulsive overeater, and oh my gosh, boy, am I compulsive overeater. I'll be telling you about how much of a compulsive overeater I am. Cindy, thanks for asking me to speak and also for reminding me periodically because I have a condition called CRS, which stands for can't remember stuff. And so if I forget stuff, I'm like in the middle of talking, just unmute and say, this is where you were. If you listen to my previous recordings, you'll be able to see my recovery is not linear. Oh, I wish it was. I wish I was struck abstinent and stayed abstinent for the last 20 something years. I came in 1988, but that's not my story. And I just want to say that I'm a 100-pounder several times because I kept leaving the rooms. And hold on, I have. Okay, there we go. I kept leaving the rooms. I didn't really leave, okay? I would make less phone calls, make less meetings, less phone calls, less meetings. And before I knew it, I wasn't a member. And then I would pick up. The food is like the last to go. But I would pick up lookalikes, you know, like sugar-free this or, you know, fruit juice sweetened muffins, you know. I had or agave or honey or stevia. If it looks like a muffin or it tastes like a muffin, it's a muffin, okay? I get, you know, and which is dumb. That's like cake without a frosting, you know? So I did that several times. Unless you are at 100-pounder meetings and there are 100-pounder, you won't hear this very often. And men can they lose it faster than women. And so they're like 100-pounders like 7, 8 times easily. So that's part of my story. So you know that relapse is part of my story. So if you, I know that we, for security reasons, you cover the pictures. But if you go to big book meetings or other meetings, you'll see I abstain from leaving OA. That's me. And so I do. You know, I OA works if you stay. And I used to hear keep coming back, it works, and I would be like, that's a cute jingle. And now I hear, don't leave. Okay. So I abstain from leaving OA. I'm going to go out in a body bag, hopefully not soon, but I'm here to stay. You know, I know this meeting was initially out of Santa Cruz and just a little, I'm from San Diego, but always wanted to live in Portland. And I have a little grandson here, which I help, three of us are helping raising him, mom, dad, and me. And I have the perfect grandson. So if you guys have a grandson, I don't care. Mine is perfect. Mine's better than yours. And so that's kind of my job now. I'm retired. I'm a medical person and I worked at La Jolla High for a dozen years. And so a lot of our kids went to UC Santa Cruz because they're surfers, you know, La Jolla's got great surfing. And so they just want to check out the other waves. The other thing I do, other than laundry and care for my grandson, is service, a ton of service. That's like my main job. And other than putting my own oxygen mask on first, you know, if I don't do that, I can't, you know, transmit something I don't have. So I do a ton of service. And, you know, the big book says that'll be the bright spot of my life. And I would not have thought that before, even though I was in the helping profession. There's a lot of nurses and teachers and social workers and therapists and firstborn girls in OA, you know, we're the helpers. We're not slamming drinks at 5, we're slamming cookies. And so we go into those fields. And so even though I was in the helping field, I never thought that I would enjoy doing service as much as I do. There's something I want to read in working with others. And after this, when I like mention the big book, I'm going to paraphrase, but this is important enough to read. This is the first line in the chapter Working with Others, which is chapter 7. And working with others would be considered step 12. Even though you're already doing step 12 by being here, I remember my sponsor said sometimes the easiest and most common service we do is show up at meetings, share, you know, positive or negative, just share. And then stay abstinent because it shows other people it can happen. And I'm like, oh, I could do that. I could go to meetings. So everyone's doing step 12 today, right now. So if you only have 11 more to go. But if you prayed this morning, even if it was like, oh God, please help me stay on my food plan, you did 12 and 11. So you only have 10 more to go. So I'm really a fan of looking at the steps a little bit backwards. So, practical experience up page 89. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th step. So, there's a guy that in AA that says, I'm 100% successful with all my sponsees. And if you're a sponsor, you know that that's like crazy, right? Well, he says, yeah, I'm still sober. I'm 100% successful. I'm still sober, right? And that's kind of what it's about. And so in my book right here, it says, I will be a sponsor. And my sponsees get ready right away. I'm like, all right, you're gonna be a sponsor. You don't have to take notes, but just know that I'll be there for you. So in fact, this is such an important concept that we just started a meeting called Sponsorship and Working with Others. I don't know if you're allowed to post flyers in this meeting, but I'll post something about the meeting. It's on Saturday nights. We have main speakers. I'm not going to name them right now, but you know most of them so far, and they're all recorded. And after, they're like 20 minutes of speaking, and then after, it's all Q&A. All Q&A. And so the speaker gets to answer the question first, and then two people from the group get to answer. And so imagine if three addicts give you their opinion, you're going to get like 12 opinions because we all have opinions. So it's really been a very successful meeting, and it's God's meeting. If it continues, that'll be great. One of the reasons I'm really big into service is because I'm uniquely qualified to help another compulsive overeater. Doctors can't do it. I'm non-alcoholic, but I read the big book. Non-compulsive overeaters can't help me. Look, everyone knows that drugs and alcohol are mood altering, but nobody gets the cake as mood altering except you guys. I mean, that's it. I've said enough food, by the way, for now. But nobody gets me like you do. Nobody. And they call that frothy emotional appeal. Like, Lisa, you're a medical person. Do you think you should be 100 pounds overweight, 130 pounds? Lisa, don't you want to see your daughter graduate, college or even high school or get married? That's frothy emotional appeal. Froth is that like light stuff that's on top of your, drink from, the coffee place. So it's not solid. It has no depth or weight. And then so you can't guilt me or scare me, like, oh, you're gonna get diabetes, or no, you can't scare me, you can't guilt me. And it's a threefold disease: emotional, spiritual, and physical. And I didn't know that I mean, I knew it was physical, look at me, and I knew it was emotional. I was miserable. My first diet was at age eight, okay? I went to, they call them a pay and weigh. I know we're not supposed to say the name now, but that was the official one that that my parents first paid for. Actually, my mom, she was really supportive of me trying to lose weight because we both just thought if I was thin, then I would be happy. And I wasn't a happy kid. So, like, which comes first? Do depressed kids get fat or do fat kids get depressed? And we know now there's a bi-directional relationship, but we didn't know that for a long time. So she was just like anything that would help and spent a fortune on diets. Well, that's the physical. I really tried diets and medicine and treatment. I mean, like, there's everything, okay? And then I realized that's not going to work. And so I tried the emotional, like therapy and psychiatric meds, and and none of that worked. And then I learned that I had to find a spiritual solution. And I was like, that does not make sense. Okay. But I am desperate enough that I'm going to do it. I just want to say that when I came, say, told you not linear. When I came in 1988, and I was 24, I had a spiritual awakening. You want to hear this? And I see the time is 10:48. So yay me. Thanks, Cindy. There's two Cindys in this meeting, which is like so interesting. But they spell them differently for those of you listening to the recording. So I came in 1988, and I don't know how this was, okay, but I had no higher power. In fact, I thought that people that believed in God were weak-willed, spineless, and it was a crutch. I have no idea where that came from, but if it's a crutch, I want one under each armpit, okay? I love my crutch. But every time I leave, I have to go find my higher power again, and I have to detox. And it's like, if you're not close to your higher power, guess who moved, And so So diet didn't work. Psychiatric stuff didn't work. The spiritual works. Like, I don't understand. And so my spiritual awakening back in the 80s was I got a higher power. And listen, and I was abstinent for 8 years. And the best thing I would say about that, other than getting a higher power, was I was abstinent before I had my daughter, during the pregnancy and the formative years after. So it's not like she didn't see me going up and down. It's really funny when I would go down on the scale and she would hug me, she would say, "Mom, are you getting taller?" That's like a kid perception, you know? Oh, I'll tell you another funny thing. So I was at La Jolla High for 12 years, but the kids are there for 4 years, you know, high school. And I would run into them like after in the neighborhood, you know, and we would talk and we would catch up. And I would say, "Hey, listen, let me ask you, was I thin or fat when you knew me?" And they would say both. I would gain and lose, you know? And so, and I can laugh about it now. Trust me, I was miserable. But I really, this is the funny thing, okay? I had what people would consider everything, you know, the big house up on the canyon and, you know, the car, the kid, the career, the husband. I hated all of it. I especially hated you. And I really hated me, but I didn't understand that until I really worked the steps. You know, it's like the one finger pointing at you, "I hate you, I hate you," and three fingers pointing back at me, "I hate me." And you guys used to say, "Oh, I'll love you too. You can love yourself." And I would roll my eyes. And I would say, "Oh, yeah, don't hold your breath. I'll let you know when that happens." And it did. I don't know. And I'm a big neuroscience geek, and I used to think this was all neuroscience. And I'm here to tell you that with all my knowledge, self-knowledge of all this, nothing, I think it's a miracle. I don't, something weird and great happened to me on the seventh step. Like, stuff was like taken away, and I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, I asked my sponsor, "Is this stuff going to come back?" Only some stuff was taken away, like immediately. And I was like, "Do you think it's going to, what's going to, I don't, waiting for the other shoe." She goes, "Well, we'll see." She didn't say, "Oh, yeah, it'll stay gone." She was a great sponsor. So, anyway, just a plug for the big book. You know, the first time I got abstinent, all we had was the big book and the For Today and the chocolate book, which is the Overeaters Anonymous stories. And then we got the 12, not the 12 and 12, but they got those steps out to us and we were doing cartwheels. It was phenomenal. And the book was great. And then we got the 12 and 12 and, you know, all the people, all the big wigs, you know, Roseanne was still alive. It was just, you know, the day, you know, we go to the birthday party and almost knock her over because she's so tiny. And so I didn't really have as good recovery. And so what happened, and I'm not, I use both literature, don't get me wrong. But what happened was when I got back into, I have 7 years now. So when I got back into recovery, I really got the doctor's opinion where that if I put the thing, the allergen, the alcoholic food, the red light food, the trigger food, whatever you want to call it, if I put it in my mouth, it starts the phenomenon of craving, and I'm powerless over craving. You know, I better not get a craving. I thought it was my crazy head that made me eat. I mean, really, I thought it was that. But when I get those allergens out of my body, those alcoholic foods, I don't have the craving. I might have the emotional thing like, "Oh, I'm sad, let me eat," but that's taken care of with the tools, you know, pick up the phone, work this, whatever, you know? And so, but the phenomenon of craving is physiological. And like, that's like saying, "Oh, you know, go ahead and, you know, we'll wait for you to sit there and get your blood pressure down." Like, it's physiological. I'm powerless over it, right? And so, that like was pounded into my head. I kept hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. I'm like, "Oh, well, God, you must want me to hear this." And it made a difference in my life in a big way. You know, I hadn't been food neutral for, you know, for years. And I was like, "Eat it, don't eat it. Okay, eat it, but don't bring it in the house. Okay, eat it, but like throw the rest away. And then like it's wrapped up, get it out of the trash, you know? Or eat it and bring the rest to work and leave it in the break room and don't go in the break room." And then I'm spending all the time in the break room. Eat it, but give the rest away. But by tomorrow, when I was going to give it away, it was gone. And that eat it, don't eat it mentality, I had to surrender to the food because it was too hard. And so when I come back to OA, it's not because I'm fat. I know how to be fat. I was fat the majority of my life. Okay, really, I know where to get the clothes. Give me a break. And I, you know, I just, came back because my life was unmanageable, unbearable. But it's unbearable almost immediately when I get into the food. I don't gain 100 pounds in a day, but my life is unmanageable slash unbearable very quickly. But
5 minutes.
oh, thanks, Cindy. So I do believe that compulsive overeaters like myself can really handle a lot of pain, physical pain, emotional pain. Like, look, to know the social, emotional, and physical burden of being morbidly obese, that's a lot of pain. But there's a lot more that goes with it. There's physical pain, there's huge embarrassment and shame. There's just, social, emotional, and physical pain. But I believe that we can handle a lot. And that's, you know what? That's a problem. It just delays getting help, right? Just a couple other things I wanted to mention. They talk about the three-legged stool, physical, emotional, and spiritual. I have a sponsee that had like a dynamo sponsor in the past, and she tells me there's threes in the big book, like restless, irritable, and discontent, body, mind, and fear. There's all these, things. And the three-legged stool, well, if they're not even, I used to say, well, at least you can't fall off because, they're not even. But I'm going to be uncomfortable and I might slide off, and I'm going to be uncomfortable enough, restless, irritable, and discontent to go eat. And so, because that's what the book says, when I'm like that, if you take away my food and don't give me something in return, like a spiritual awakening pretty soon, which is just a psychic change. I think of you differently. I look at life differently. I look at myself differently. I respond differently. That's what a spiritual awakening is. So don't worry if you don't get a white light or you haven't had one, So I certainly didn't, but I'm different. I'm really different. And when my sponsees get that transformation, I call them so-and-so 2.0, like Cindy 2.0. Right now I have one that's 1.5. She's on her way. And so she has had some of her spiritual awakening. She's different, but really it's going to take that service. It's going to take intensively working with others. I actually work intensively with others that have sponsors that like their sponsors, but they call me and say, you know what? I don't feel ready to sponsor. No one does. Come on. I don't feel ready. I go, well, good. Let's get you ready to sponsor because that's my job, right? Is get my sponsees ready to sponsor because it basically says I'm immune to eating if I do that. So there's a whole bunch of stuff to do if you can't find a sponsor right away. And there's a whole bunch of really cool, you just come to our meeting, come to the sponsorship meeting on Saturday nights. So I want to tell you something interesting. You know how it's God, myself, and other human beings. Oh, the stool. So I used to think like my legs, well, the spiritual one was just shorter than the other, but it's okay. I'm not going to fall off. Well, I just told you we're going to fall off. And then I thought, well, if as long as they're even, it's okay. And then I realized, no, the fatter one, the stronger one, the thicker piece of wood has to be the spiritual, because the big book's clear that once I, I have once I clear up spiritually, the emotional and physical follows. Which of course I told you I started with physical. I'm going to do the diet, then I went to emotional. None of that helped because I'm a real compulsive overeater, and it talks about that in the big book. Where like if I was just a moderate, it would be like, oh, my jeans are tight, and I would do whatever I need to do, and then it would be done. If I was a heavy eater, I might be obese, I might need diets, but eventually it'll work. Nothing worked for me or Bill. He was a real alcoholic. I'm a real compulsive overeater. There's a first step workshop that happens periodically. The next time is November 15th. I'll put it in the chat and you'll learn about those three types of eaters and a lot of other stuff. It's done by one of our main speakers and it's phenomenal. People call me a year later and say, oh my gosh, thank you for, advertising, not advertising, talking about that in meetings and sharing about it. I went to it. It changed my life, which is program, changed my program. So God, myself, and other human beings, you're my other human beings today. Thank you so much for being those people. You're my God squad right now. I know I can pick up the phone with any of you if you put your numbers in the chat and just talk. You get me more than anyone. You definitely get me more than like people that aren't in program that I love and that love me. So fellowship is capitalized in the big book. I have 29 seconds. And I just want to say that Bill capitalized anything that's like creator of the universe. Or I don't know, I don't master, I don't know, like father, creative intelligence. There's a whole bunch, okay? And somebody counted them. I think there's 50 something, but I don't know. It's not what I'm gonna do. And fellowship is capitalized. Go figure. So it's big G and little G. You're my little G's. All right, I'm done. I can't believe I'm done. This is like amazing. Thank you.